Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Pastor Greg Huffman, who serves on staff at Brookside Baptist Church. And Pastor Huffman, we are right in the middle of a series on the Beatitudes, that most famous sermon the Lord preached. And we've called the series Becoming a Person of Impact because we're talking about developing the character that the Lord wants his disciples to have. In fact, you had a very powerful illustration at the beginning of the last broadcast. We're actually talking about the third of the Beatitudes today. But you really kind of put it in context where you talked about reflecting the light. And maybe you could just revisit that with us, and that'll kind of give us a good launching out into today's broadcast.
Well, it basically went back to the fact that you said that the Lord wanted us to be salt and light. And so the idea of being light was just a picture of what I think the moon and the sun have in their relationship. The moon has no light of its own.
Right.
And the only thing we see at night is the reflection of the sun on the moon, then down to us. And in my mind, that's kind of what the Lord wants us to be. His light shining to us and then through us.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes God has to do some things special in our hearts and lives.
You mean by that suffering?
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but deep down inside, yeah. It's kind of like somebody said, when God is not doing something for you, then he is doing something in you that he might do something great through you.
Right.
And so many times we don't feel like God's doing something for us, or at least it's not what we had in mind, but God is doing something in us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the suffering part, that he might do something great through us. That's the reflecting part. And if I'm ever trying to light my own candle, so to speak, and be the light, then it doesn't take much for it to get blown out.
Yeah, God has a pretty good way of making sure we leave our matches home.
Exactly.
And,
or they get really wet.
But, you know, I think that's a great illustration because we can't reflect something that we don't know. We can't be a reflection of Christ without knowing Christ. And we can't really reflect him properly without being like him. And I think that's what the Lord is going after here in this sermon. He wants disciples to make a difference in the world while they wait for the coming of his kingdom. And he's going to talk to them a lot about their conduct and their spiritual life and the manifestation of all of this in the midst of a pagan environment in the rest of the sermon. But right up in the front end of the sermon, he starts out by saying to them, now, I want you to be salt and light. And if you're going to be salt and light, here's what you can expect: persecution. But if you're going to really survive all this and function properly, you're going to have this kind of a character. And it's the kind of character that you see in me. So we're just being exhorted here by the Lord to be
right
like him. And we said you need to be poor in spirit. You need to think properly about yourself. The Lord said, I am meek and lowly of heart. And the word lowly of heart there is the concept that we have here in poor of spirit. Then we need to have the right approach to how we think about the world and how we feel about the sinfulness of the world. And Jesus said you need to mourn over sin. And we spent three broadcasts or so looking at that. And we're right in the middle of the third beatitude, which is simply how the Lord wants us to be disposed. What should our disposition be like? How should we handle people and how should we treat others? And the Lord's answer to that was to be meek. And we spent the first broadcast talking about what that meant.
You use the word disposition. I think sometimes we focus too much on my position as opposed to my disposition.
Right.
And, of course, our position needs to be right and biblical. But if our disposition isn't right and biblical, isn't godly, then it really doesn't make any difference what our position is.
And part of that for me, and I'm sure some of our listeners will relate to this, and it may be different for others, and your own experience, Pastor Greg, might be different too, but I have often looked at this and excused the absence of it in my life or minimized this in my life because of my personality. Everybody has a God-given personality.
Right.
And, you know, you hear people say, and I think it's right, you need to be content with the way God made you.
Correct.
God didn't make a mistake when he made you this way. He gave you the personality he gave you. This is all part of a wise creator's choice. And so I look at my personality, and I didn't get blessed with one of the quieter types. I got one of the supercharged, super aggressive. You know, you hear about type A, I'm probably triple A when it comes to personality. And so my tendency has been to say, well, that's just the way God made me.
In other words, you're saying you've got to accept me the way I am because I don't want to change.
Well, I haven't ever connected meekness. Maybe the better way to say it would be this. I've always thought that some people were going to be more meek than others because it was naturally part of their personality. And studying this beatitude helped me to realize that meekness is not part of my personality. It's the grid through which my personality has to pass. So it doesn't matter what my personality is like, I still have to pass it through the grid of meekness.
So would you say that meekness is a part of the fruit of the Spirit?
Yes, and everybody can have it.
Exactly.
So it doesn't matter if I'm type A or type B, and it's not so much a changing of my personality mm-hmm. into something that I'm not. It's simply taking my strengths and my personality and its accompanying weaknesses and making sure that it gets passed through this grid called meekness.
Do you have any Bible examples of people that were really, really strong leaders but exhibited meekness?
Well, actually, I think that's a great way to go today because last time we talked about the meaning of meekness. I think this time we could look at some of the models. And, for example, we have David and we have Abraham and we have Joseph. And we have Moses, and then we have Paul, and of course we have the Lord. But just think about the different types of personalities. I mean, if you could actually have David sitting in a chair at the table with us, and then you put Moses across the seat from him, and then you could put Joseph over there next to Moses.
Right.
If you could literally put these people around the table, the diversity of their personalities would just come immediately to the forefront. And yet all of these men exhibited meekness. So let's talk, for example, about David. You know, you don't normally think of David as a meek and gentle guy. I mean, this is a guy who stoned a giant and lopped his head off.
Mm-hmm.
He killed a bear and a lion as a boy. You know, not exactly a meek and quiet bench sitter. I mean, this guy was out there. He was very passionate about life. He was really a dominant personality. But in 2 Samuel 16, verses 5 through 14, we find David at a very vulnerable time. I mean, remember his son Absalom takes over the kingdom.
Taking over the kingdom, right.
And David flees, and on his way out, he leaves Jerusalem. Now, imagine how he must have felt. Betrayed, hurt, grief-stricken, to some degree angry.
A knife in the heart.
Mm-hmm. And so all of these emotions are just raging on David, and he comes down the hill, and here is a man who was loyal to Saul. And was frustrated because when Saul was deposed and David took over, his fortunes just fell apart. And his name was Shimei. And Shimei began to curse David with loud accusations and just making false statements. And literally picked up stones and began to throw the stones at David. Now, remember, David has a small army with
him. He's got his mighty men surrounding him.
So you could just see how angry and bitter this Shimei was. And so literally one of those mighty men, Abishai, comes to David and said, "Why do you let this dead dog curse you? Let me go over and take off his head." And, I mean, you get the impression he could have done it. And David's response was this, "Leave him alone. It may be that the Lord will repay me with good for his cursing today."
In other words, he began to look at every circumstance in his life and said, "God may be allowing this for my good and his glory."
Right. And, you know, he didn't always respond that way every day, like you and I don't.
We don't either.
But on that day, he did.
Exactly.
He exhibited meekness. Let me give you another example. Abraham in the Old Testament, Abraham in Genesis 13 is standing on a hilltop with a nephew that he brought with him that he had shared his wealth. I mean, this nephew would have nothing if it had not been for Abraham. Abraham had been like a father to him. This is his brother's son. And in fact, Abraham had been so good to Lot that their flocks and their herdsmen were so large now that they were arguing over grazing rights and watering rights. And so a solution was reached, and really the proper solution would have been for Lot to have subjugated himself to Abraham, but Lot, you know, wanted his own, and so Abraham humbly, even though he was the older man, said, "You know, here's a solution. Maybe the two of us should kind of go our separate ways, and you take your flocks and herds." And it came time to pick where they would go. In ancient Eastern culture, the older always had the first choice. But Lot steps forward and says, "Well, let me pick first." And he looks around and he picks the best land. He picks the well-watered plain. Everything else is just rock and brush and leaves the worst to Abraham. It was a horrible insult. Right. And you know what Abraham did? He was silent. And a little bit later on, he's praying for Lot. Now, that's meekness.
That's meekness. And isn't it interesting? Wouldn't you love to have been in the tents of Abraham's servants that night to hear what they had to say about their master?
I could only hear. You know, Joseph is another good example of this. You remember in Genesis 50, his father is dead. His brothers have come to Egypt. He's been good. All of these things have happened. But his father dies, and his brothers come with fear and trembling because now they think, boy, he's really going to get us for what he did. And it just betrays their own heart and really our heart because that's, right. You know, vengeance is a dish best served cold.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been a long time since the pit. But now Joseph's finally in a place where he can get him. And they come to try to smooth it out with him, and they come asking, you know, for forgiveness and hoping that they can forestall any.
And, of course, telling lies about what their dad supposedly said before he died.
And Joseph said, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive.
And Joseph is an amazing leader, the number two man in Egypt.
Yeah. I think we have time for one more. Can I share this one with you? Moses. You don't normally think of Moses as this quiet person. In fact, the thing that Moses, unfortunately, is known for is his temper. I mean, here's a guy in two incidents in his life where his temper gets the better of him, and that's what we think of when we think of Moses. But God put something in the text for us to help us adjust our thinking about Moses when he tells us in Numbers 12 that he was the meekest man in his generation. And here comes his brother and his sister, and they are angry and frustrated and irritated with Moses because he's the leader. And they actually incite the people against Moses, and Moses is silent. In fact, when God strikes Aaron and Miriam gets leprosy, Moses becomes the key to praying for her and healing her. And this is another example of meekness.
And God help us to be like Moses in that situation.
But that is how God wants us to be. And that's what we'll learn in the final broadcast. How do we manifest it? How do we take everything we've been talking about and put it to practice in our life? So I hope you'll join us the next time as we come together. Until then, may the Lord bless you.